On this page, I have provided quotations from three sources by Evagrius Ponticus on the subject of sexual desire, on the subject of lust, temptations by the demon of lust. And this is the point to remind ourselves that in the desert tradition, the primary concern was with the thoughts, with the desire, the opportunity for actually committing some form of sexual misbehavior was far less common and far less available than the ongoing prevalence of the experience of being tempted to inappropriate fantasies. And the Desert Fathers, master psychologists that they were, and of course the Desert Mothers as well, recognized that it was in these thoughts that one needs to discover both the challenge that one faces and the opportunity to seek the grace of God to understand ourselves better and to make spiritual progress towards using this faculty, this capacity for relationship, according to nature, in a longing and a desire for God and in a willingness to pour oneself out in compassionate service of neighbor. Let's take a look first at the texts from the Practikos. And I should add, the three texts that I've chosen are the Practikos, the text on tempting thoughts, the Perilogismon, which we've seen before, and a new text at the bottom, the Antiretikos, about which I'll say a little bit in just a moment. In the first section from the Practikos, notice that Evagrius is, of course, concerned with the question of the thought of immorality, of sexual uncleanness, of porneia, the meaning of which we've already described. One of the temptations that he says that the demon or the tempting thought of sexual immorality will attempt to instill is a sense that those who attempt to practice enkrateia, self-control, are achieving nothing. There's no point to it. It's not serving any purpose. It's simply negative. It isn't worth doing. And he points out that this kind of negativity towards the project of trying to make progress in this area actually has the effect of contaminating the soul, of inviting one to live in the unreal world of interior fantasy, to create a world where one doesn't actually have to interact with real human beings, but instead one can live just in a kind of a fantasy world of pleasure without any consequences and without looking at the significance of one's own desire. This, he says, whether in mind or in fantasy, eventually leads to speech, and that it can even lead to actions. Now, section 8, or number 8, is the only one specifically on the demon of porneia, or the logismos, the tempting thought of sexual immorality. The other selections, numbers 22 and 23, 55 and 56, mention sexual desire or epithumia as a part of other passions that are being reflected on. And this, as we'll see, is a strong theme in Cassian. The quest for chastity, the quest for proper use of one's sexual faculty, is not a single or simple action. It is part of the whole package, part of the whole project of spiritual progress. And indeed, it's something that continues for the whole of one's life. So it's not just a question of succession of one demon after the other, although that can happen in the experience of temptation. The deeper truth is that the quest for the discovery of what this energy is for is something that is intimately intertwined with all other spiritual practices and indeed with all other experiences of temptation as well. So he says in particular in number 22 that the goal of the demons will be to confuse us as to the proper remedy for the temptation we're experiencing. If we're being tempted to speak and act and reflect inappropriately with people, then the demons will say, the temptation will say, you need to spend more time with people. You're much too aloof and distant. In other words, the temptation or the demonic will seek to put us in the position where we are least able to deal properly with our temptation. In the same way, when it's anger or something that is afflicting us, rather than encouraging us to seek out the other person and to reestablish relationship, the demonic will tempt us to want the hermitage, to want to spend time in solitude. So we need to be aware that together with the temptation is very often the encouragement to do the opposite of what would help us discover the proper use of this energy. And every energy of the self, according to Evagrius and the Desert Fathers, has its use according to nature. The use of the irascible or angry part is to be indignant about the misuse of God's creation around us, in others, and in ourselves. We have the right to be angry at the demons, at the experience of temptation, and even to contradict the demonic, as we'll see in the last set of texts that we'll be looking at here. And in the same way, our desire is given to us so that we might desire God more deeply and truly, and in God perceive the beauty and goodness and delightfulness of all the things around us. But whether we should spend time in community or solitude as a remedy depends on the particular temptation we're facing, and the demons will try to get us to do the opposite of what's genuinely helpful. He then talks in number 23, in a particular sense, of how sinful thoughts inhibit the experience of contemplation. We are darkened in our minds by giving in to fantasies. It prevents us from seeing within the, if you will, fantasy faculty of ourselves that which it is there for. It is there for our experience of the image and the vision of God. And it's darkened if we're spending it doing other kinds of things. And he gives, which we'll see heavily emphasized in Cashin, in number 55, that what happens during sleep, whether it's the dreams or the experience of physical arousal, and that's an issue that was talked about quite a lot in the Egyptian desert, as we'll see in Cashin, all of these things and the images that do or don't accompany them are indications, they are symptoms, they are signs, Evagrius would say symbols, of the inner work we need to do. It's all data. Our experience of our inner thoughts and temptations is not just a battlefield, it's also the place where we learn about ourselves, learn how we're being tempted, and in praying to God and asking God the meaning of these things, as Evagrius says, we discover what the proper remedy is, and we discover where we are in our spiritual journey. He talks again in number 56 about how important it is that we assess the whole of our lives, the things we do consciously, and even the things that bubble or burble up from the unconscious, especially the things that appear in dreams. This gives us an indication of what we need to work on, of what's actually going on inside us, and it has to do with our capacity to be in relationship with what he calls the holy powers, that presence of God that is represented by, he would say, the angelic ranks, by all the beautiful and good and true meanings and purposes that God has implanted within reality, which we will only see if we aren't just giving ourselves over to our own selfish and empty and non-other or God-directed kind of fantasy lives. In the text from the Perilogismon, the text on various tempting thoughts, this is particularly emphasized, that all of this stuff is data. He says in number 2, the noose is stamped with the experience of the issues that bother us. So we could say these are the images or the things that rise up even during prayer, but that helps us in acknowledging them and knowing them to recognize how we're being tempted and then what we need to do. Some of these things come from the demonic, he says, some come from nature, and some come from within our own selves. But he hints in the section that I've highlighted towards the end that there is a use of indignation or of lust or of desire that is contrary to nature, and this is what he means by the demonic temptations, but that implies that there is also a use according to nature. And he hints at that in the last paragraph in this selection from the On Tempting Thoughts, where he says, luminosity appears in the mind, in the reasoning, governing part of the self at the time of prayer when one is overcoming these struggles. Now, the third set of texts that I've offered is from one that is not widely available in English. Only very small portions have been translated. I've included my own translations of portions having to do with the Psalms. The Antiretikos is a long text. It's more than 600 Bible verses, which are to be used according to different kinds of temptation. And the different books of this Antiretikos begin with Genesis and go all the way through Revelation, supplying Bible verses for particular kinds of temptation. And I'd invite you to look at this very limited selection of the portion of this book concerned with lust or with temptation towards sexual impurity, and notice the specificity that Evagrius has. The verses that he wants people to use, that is to say to meditate on, to recite within themselves when they find that they're being tempted in a particular way. And he'll often say things that specifically are intended to counteract the depression or emptiness that people feel. Like in number 226, the thought or the temptation that tells me that voluptuous thoughts are more powerful than the commandment of God. I'll never get past this. I might as well give in. But the psalm verse is, I will disperse them like dust in the wind. I will tread them down like dung in the streets. So that's what one's supposed to meditate on, or even consciously choose and chew on and hold within the heart. In number 227, there is a demon that suddenly falls upon the body but cannot conquer the spirit. And then that beautiful passage from the Psalms to be remembered, you've changed my sorrow into joy. You have taken off my sackcloth and girded me with joy. In number 228, the thoughts that say the demon of lust will bring you to shame. If you oppose him, you might as well give in, because he'll shame you if you try to stand up against him. Evagrius says, on the contrary, it's the demons who are brought to shame and disgraced. What we see in these verses is written down the answer to the question, Father or Mother, give me a word, I am tempted in this way. Evagrius has recorded these more than 600 passages that represent answers to that question based on particular kinds of temptation in his experience as a spiritual father. This text has not been much studied or explored, and I think it deserves much more and much better of us in the future.